7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
I'd like to call the meeting to order, please. Would you all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Sarah, will you call roll, please?
President Graves.
Here.
Vice President Dawson.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here. You done? We did get them. Got everybody?
We got everybody.
Okay. This evening, before we start, a couple of housekeeping items. First of all, we have Dan Schroeder was not able to be here this evening. Unfortunately, his father-in-law passed away unexpectedly, and so filling in from New Miller and Beardsley tonight is Mia Brown. She's one of their attorneys over there. And I also, if any of you don't know, our landscape manager, Farron Perez's father, was died unexpectedly last week. And so she has taken some time. She was back this week, but there'll be services in his home area up in somewhere up in the foothills this weekend. So I just want to let the public know that that she has suffered that loss also. So anyway, okay, we have a report coming from council on the closed session.
Yes, there was a closed session held May 10th, and there's a disclosure regarding that. The closed session item was pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, conference with labor negotiator. And the announcement I have is that all directors were present for the duration of the discussion of the closed session item, and no reportable action was taken.
Thank you very much. This is the time for public comment. This is where we would invite anybody in the audience to come forward and talk about any items that are not agendized items. There is a 3-minute time limit. And I have a notice here from Pat Richardson, and I don't see that it's appropriate to an agenda item, so I think you'd like to speak at this point, Pat. Pull the mic down a little bit. Thank you.
I just would like to say thank you to the Community Center Committee. They did such an unusually awesome job at the last meeting. They've got their goals set. They've got how they're going to accomplish their goals. If everything that we did could be run like that committee, we would be in great shape. They really did an outstanding job, and the paperwork that they put out was easy to follow. I really appreciate them. We might just get the community center. Thank you.
Any other comments? Okay, public comments is closed. Any presentations, staff?
None tonight.
Thank you. I guess we'll have to. Oh, it's time for our reports. Directors, any reports to submit or talk about or anything you'd like to say? This is your chance.
I do.
Director Simon.
I have two reports, one from May 4th, one from May 11th for the Budget Committee. They're fairly general because we have not finished the budget yet. May 4th, Budget Committee met for 2 hours to discuss several issues regarding the upcoming budget. The committee discussed financial statement format with recommendations for making certain accounts easier and clearer to understand. The committee also discussed expenses related to the operating budget, as well as projected revenues and funding for upcoming capital projects. The next committee meeting was scheduled for May 11th to review actual figures for the upcoming fiscal year budget. All committee members, with the exception of Mike McCleary, were in attendance. The board was represented by myself and by Ray Tatchell. On May 11th, the budget committee met for 2 hours. To discuss, review, and make recommendations for the fiscal year upcoming budget for operating and capital expenses. We conducted a line-by-line examination of each account, held an open discussion regarding the most efficient way to minimize expenses for the upcoming budget, as well as the possibility of a rate increase. Based on the recommendations of the committee, General Manager Rick Howard will put together a fiscal year upcoming budget to be reviewed, discussed, and voted on by the directors at an upcoming regular meeting of the Community Service District Board. In attendance were all 5 members of the committee, including from the board, myself, and Ray Tatchell. Thank you.
Thank you. The records show that written report also is represents Director Tatchell's presence at the committee. Ray, do you have anything tonight?
No, sir.
Director Steele?
No.
Nothing? Director Dawson.
I attended the last P6 meeting. The only real thing that was discussed there was the idea of using P6 dollars to pay for the SRO at Excelsior, which is this, which is the officer in the school district. And the decision made by the board was to pay for it for this next fiscal year out of the P6, and only out of this next year. So one time, we'll say you get working on the rest of it for the rest of the time. I also attended the school board meeting, which was very interesting. The school board and one of their unions, they deal with two different unions, are in impasse in negotiations. This is something I've never had to deal with, but I guess the school district has declared impasse, and needless to say, the teachers are not pleased. On the bright side, there was some restorations of some positions that were expected to be cut, and the Measure C priority list was set. So thank you.
Okay, I have attended the Aviation Advisory Committee meeting on May 5th, and I have a report here. Nothing extremely exciting, although they have agreed to have two meetings here at the Byron Airport in the upcoming year, which will be nice for those out here that want to know what's going on out there and can attend a meeting. They cover both the Byron and Airport and Buchanan Field. Construction is moving forward on four new hangars at the Byron Airport, and they're also looking into some rezoning for a foreign trade zone out there. So things may be happening for that airport to grow. We should make sure we're aware of that if that is the case, because it might mean something directly for us. And that's all I have to report. Moving to the consent calendar.
I make a motion. We approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion or concern by the board? Any discussion by the public? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. New business. Item one. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This item is before you tonight. It is to consider extending to September 30th, the sunset date for completion for the Communications Committee. As you recall, back earlier in the year, the board had authorized the creation of three new committees, the Budget Review Committee, the Community Center Committee, and this committee. Unfortunately, this committee has not been able to meet due to a number of factors, scheduling factors, but also a lot of staffing requirements. I wanted to make sure that the public and the board understand that this was not something that was just not done because it didn't want to get done. It was done because there were external circumstances that have unfortunately gotten in the way, which I would like, if you would like me to explain some of those, I'd be more than happy to do so. But nonetheless, the Communications Committee, if it's the board's desire to extend the date to September 30th from June 30th, that would be an appropriate action this evening.
Any discussion by the board? Is there a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to extend the Communications Committee date for final recommendations to the board from June 30th, 2011 to September 30th, 2011.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any comment from the public? Okay, not hearing any. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item two.
The second item before you this evening is to approve the contract with Hornberger Engineering. John Hornberger has performed our rate study over the past number of years, and this is to continue that process. This is for a two-year rate study versus your typical one-year rate study. If you recall, a couple years ago we did a five-year study, but this year I'm recommending a two-year rate study based upon a number of factors. One is the fact that the water master plan and the wastewater master plans, those are still going to be vetted out over the course of the next few months, and to do a five-year study with that on the horizon, I didn't think it was a prudent thing to do. So I think the more appropriate action would be to do a two-year study. It is consistent with Prop 218 guidelines, and it's a not-to-exceed $15,000 amount for the contract with John Gary Hornberger.
Sure.
And I make a motion to approve contract with Hornberger, to authorize water and wastewater rate studies for period fiscal year 2011-2012 through fiscal year 2012-2013 with Hornberger Engineering in an amount not to exceed $15,000.
And can you, the rest of the recommendation would be to authorize the general manager to execute all the contract documents.
And to authorize the general manager to, say it one more time?
Execute all the contract
to execute documents. All contract documents.
I'll second that.
We got that motion in, council? We okay with that?
You're fine.
Great. Any discussion by the board at this point?
Yeah, the only question I have, Rick, I know that part of their study is going to include the developments, Pantages, Newport Point, Hoffman, and...
Villages.
And various vacant lots.
And what concerns me is he keeps coming back with the same study. There's nobody building at this point, and we're developing a plan based on building a larger plant to accommodate all of this building that we're not doing. And there's no builders looking, they're stepping up to build right now. Mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned we just keep paying them to tell us the same thing over and over again.
The rate study is a study that's based on existing customers. So it's just our existing customer base at this point in time.
And he doesn't factor
you're, in. I think you're thinking of the master plan that includes all of that.
I know about that, but doesn't he, when he starts the break time for the next 2 years, doesn't he take into account that we may have a development coming in?
Oh, yeah. We've indicated that we don't expect any future new development except for a single infill project here.
Okay,
or there.
I have no problem with
that. I think that, Director Son, I think that might have been because at the last time he did it, we're still kind of on that cusp of the bubble, and so he had to include those things.
Okay.
I
know it's probably.
Huh?
And it was a five-year plan.
Right, five-year plan.
Okay.
Any other questions with regards to that, Director Steele?
So he just bills by the hour and just as he goes along, or?
He bills for the study itself. It's a not to exceed $15,000. If he were to exceed $15,000, he would not get paid for the $15,000 unless it was something extraordinary. There's nothing extraordinary in this rate study. But he does bill by the hour. Based on his estimate, it's going to be approximately $15,000. It may come in a little less. I don't expect it to be more.
And how many rate payers do we have on this study? That's
1,500? There's approximately... every household and every business in Discovery Bay.
Everyone? Okay.
And every connection in Discovery Bay.
Okay.
Water and sewer.
Whether you have a meter or not.
Whether you have a meter.
Okay, I understand. Thanks.
Any other questions by the board?
Yeah, I have a
go ahead.
Question,
comment.
The Director Simon asked if we're going to consider the possible upcoming other developments. And you're saying that you're asking him to do a study based on none of that? When, in fact, I know we're going to look at some money in our upcoming budgets to do some things. So those don't compute.
But I understand your question. The response is that the rate study applies the costs to the existing customer base. And if, for example, there were 100 homes coming online during the course of the next 2 years, he would then include those additional homes as part of his study. We don't anticipate over the next 2 years that we're going to be having any development that would trigger that mechanism in place.
And I think Director Simon, if I may clarify, I think he meant, are we going to ask him to project based on this study to include expenses that would be needed for upcoming developments, not other people?
Yes, it does. I'm sorry. I follow you now. Yes, it does include capital expenses not only for this year, but also for the next year. We're still working on those numbers for him at this point in time. He's working on the study right now.
Can I ask what developments you would include in that?
I think we're kind of out of the realm of, we're kind of dissecting the contract. I mean, dissecting the intent of, I don't know.
We are asking questions. We're about to let a contract out. And we want to clarify what we're asking the contract for the contract.
Okay. Okay.
And that's the reason. Okay.
The rate study is established based upon the draft budget that's being transmitted to you this evening. He received a copy of that document. So as he is using that document, he's taking that data from that document, both the operating and the capital side, and dropping that into his formulas that will eventually generate whatever rate increase comes out of that. And we need to do that for both years. So he's taken the data from the current year and plugged that in, and we're working on the data for next year right now for him. And that includes, Director Tedros, some of those components we discussed in our budget review committee meetings with respect to the capital items.
I get it. I'm sorry. You're right, Ray. I didn't hear your whole question. Go ahead.
This is probably where I have the problem with it. We, in our budget committee, we've got a pretty darn good idea what the rate increase is going to be. We already know what it's going to be. If there's no building coming this year or in the next year, we don't anticipate for 2 years, why do I want to pay him $15,000 to tell us what we already know?
Prop 218 requires you to do a rate study any time you raise rates beyond a consumer price index increase. So if you go beyond 2 or 3%, you are required to do a rate study.
Okay, now I know that,
but
if we do
Prop 218.
If we have another rate increase next year, then we have to do this over again.
No, it's a 2-year study, so he's developing what the increase would be for this year and next year concurrently. So for example, if next year, let's say he comes up and he says it's I'll just pick a number, 25% rate increase next year, and the board comes back and says, and after running the numbers and everything else, we come back and determine 25% isn't necessary. We only need 17% or 15% or 10%. Then because you've dropped below the threshold, you don't have to do another rate study.
Because he did a 5-year study.
Two years ago.
Which we didn't.
But you
which
didn't.
We didn't pay any attention to.
I know, but the point is
You're right.
You did not adopt that 5-year rate study. Had you adopted that 5-year rate study,
we wouldn't be doing this.
We would not necessarily be doing this unless we felt that.
Well, we wouldn't, because we're going to ask for a higher number probably than the way you adopted.
Well, but had the board implemented the recommendations of the consultant at that time, you might not need to go there.
What?
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Perfect sense. Any other questions?
No.
Concerns? Public, any questions or concerns from the public on this issue? Okay, hearing none. Do we have a motion and a second, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, all those in favor of approving this contract, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Did I turn the page too quick? Okay, item number 3, and I believe, Rick, you're going to present this based on the situation with Barron.
Yes, and for the board as well as for the public, there was a revised report that came out this afternoon. It's stamped with a red revised, and that's the report we will be working off of this evening. So if you don't have a copy of it, please get one from the back of the room. When Farron's unfortunate situation took place, we needed to get this on this agenda, so I went ahead and did the report for her, and Murphy's Law would dictate that I made an error, which I did, and so Farron was in the other day, and we corrected it. There's actually 2 bids that need to be approved tonight. The original staff report indicated that there were 1, but there are 2. The first one is with Ross Recreation Landscape Structures, Inc., and the second with Creative Recreational Systems. for the Cornell Park Playground equipment for $24,637.11 and $35,394.52 respectively. The first one is authorized through the California Multiple Award Schedule, or CMAS, and that allows us to utilize statewide bidding procedures. In other words, that project, this equipment has already been bid out by the state or some other public agency and is listed in the state records as being a competitively bid project. So we can piggyback on that. Mm-hmm. The second one is a sole source. They're actually both sole source providers, but the second one is with Ross. Creative Recreational Systems, in the amount of $24,637.11. And again, this is the equipment that was spec'd out by the architect. We are currently out to bid on the second phase. The first phase of the project was the demolition of the playground equipment. The second phase is out to bid. That's all the site work and concrete work. This is the third component, is the purchase of the equipment. And the final component will be actually the construction of the playground equipment with the surface, the turf areas, and that sort of thing. So we're looking forward to an authorization to approve the contracts with Ross Recreation Landscape and with Creative Recreation Systems. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Questions, board?
Mm-hmm. Creative, I see $46,994. You're telling me Creative is 24 something.
Actually, he said it wrong. Creative is $36,394.52. Ross is $24,637.11. Combined, they are $60,031.63.
That's
This one I'm looking at.
Oh, you're looking at their actual proposal.
We had one revised and one that was not.
One of them includes, Director Simon, if you look on the bid for that, it includes an optional installation charge of $11,600. We are not doing that.
Any other questions or comments from the board?
Who's installing it?
That will be when we go to bid on that. We don't know yet. That'll go to bid sometime in the next few months. Or in the next month or so.
I'm sorry, any other questions? Okay. This is a phase project, correct? And we've been approving it as a phase project. We've approved it in phases, is that correct?
Yeah, Farron and I discussed this at length, that we talked about the opportunity of either bidding it out as a single, as a single general contract, with one big set of plans and bidding it out. And we just felt that with such a small project, we get pretty large overhead. So we ended up bidding it out separately. We did what you might refer to as a multiple prime project.
So when we originally talked about this project at the board level, we talked about a not to exceed, we had an idea of what this was gonna cost originally, and are we within that budget?
Well, you amended the budget for this, at, I believe the meeting in April, you did a budget amendment to accommodate this. So with that budget amendment, the answer to your question is yes.
Okay, and the funds come from Zone 8?
Zone 8 and WW grant funds. Yes.
Great. Nothing out of the general fund?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? I don't have a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the bid from Ross Recreation in the amount of $24,637.11 and Creative Recreation Inc. In the amount of $35,394.52.
It's been made and seconded. Staff, is there any need to have a not to exceed number on this, or are these tight numbers?
These are fixed bid prices.
Any other comment from the board? Any questions or comments from the public? Okay, hearing none.
Point of order, Mr.
Yes,
President. And can the recommendation be amended to authorize the general manager to execute all the contract documents?
Motion?
As amended.
Second?
Second.
Okay, good to go. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Okay, moving on to General, am I doing this right? Oh, I'm sorry, Veolia's report. Don't want to miss Veolia.
Doug Little is here this evening. Doug is the interim project manager. Doug's been with Veolia for a number of years, and most of you have seen him around. He works out of the Lathrop facility, but he's been here a lot lately, so he's going to give the monthly report.
Hi, Doug. I just asked one thing. There's a microphone there on that stand. If you, because we record these, and people that don't make the meetings, stay as close to that mic as you can. I'd appreciate it.
Very good. So, Mr. President, members of the board, I appreciate your time, and I'll try to make this presentation quick and painless. Actually, you know, as I'm the interim project manager, Gerald Smart put the presentation together. He will have more of the details than I do, but I've been digging in, and we'll move forward. So, this report is for the month of April 2011. And there were no wastewater permit violations during the month of April. There were no drinking water violations. There was one sanitary sewer overflow that occurred during April, and we'll touch on that a little bit later. Some of the highlights of operations: the new UV system is operating currently in conjunction with the old UV system. There are some automation problems related to pumping through the UV that's causing some blow spikes, so we're having to run those in conjunction until some hardware related to computer PLCs is repaired and some programming is done. Some changes have been made. There is also one minor problem with the new UV system that's computer related that's going to be resolved shortly. We're digging into that now. It's a warranty issue. Shortly we should have a new UV system online independent of the old system. The town initiated an experiment of polymer, which is a chemical used for dewatering the biosolids at the waste treatment plant. It's a cost-cutting experiment. The intent is, through testing, this polymer will potentially save a little bit throughout the year. So the new product is on site. We purchased small pieces of equipment to accommodate its use, and it should be in use by the end of this month. The bypass valves. I'm not sure how aware you are of the bypass system that was put in at Plant 2.
Well, we've seen pictures of it.
Okay, very good. So, the bypass valves are now functioning. I did a lot of research earlier today talking to the various parties that were involved in engineering and tying the automation of those valves in the main plant computer system. And they will probably go into full auto mode later this week or early next week. There was a leaking issue with the valves. Virgil and Gregory Harris have worked with the manufacturer to resolve that problem. And they were also very diligent in pressing the manufacturer to honor warranty or extend warranty in the event that issue came back.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Would you explain to me briefly how that automated system is going to work? What that means when you say it's automated? When is it going to kick in? What's going to be the trigger?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's actually two bypass systems. The one that's most important, the one that you're probably interested in, is the final bypass. It's going to be triggered by dirty water. It's turbidity. So when the turbidity hits a level of 10, which is a permit-related, it's actually not a limit, but a permit-related number, the effluent will be bypassed to a sludge storage pond.
And the detection for that then is on the outside of the UV system, is that correct? Is that where it would be detected? Because it would be saying that too much dirty water is getting through the UV system.
The detection point is at the head of the UV.
At the head of the UV.
Yeah, and then it bypasses after the UV. And,
oh, right. Yeah. I'm with you. Okay, I'm correct. With you. I'm sorry. Yeah. I got you now. Okay.
So it's actually, it's designed well. They, yes. You know, put a lot of effort into, you know, the instrument locations and set points.
Great.
So it's actually, you know, going to provide multiple benefits to the operations crew and also to the town.
Great.
A little bit later, you'll notice we had some permit violations earlier in the year, and this system will I think greatly curb that.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. There were zero triggered sampling events for the month of April, and this is related to your question about turbidity in the effluent valves. So at a turbidity of 10, we additional sampling of the effluent is required. And, you know, in past months, that occurred relatively often. In the month of April, it didn't occur often, and there are a couple of reasons for that. We modified some operational procedures at Plant 1, which has caused some pumps that typically fail to not fail. And when those pumps fail, the effluent quality would deteriorate pretty rapidly. So that's definitely helped. The clarifier cleanings have been taking place a little bit more frequently. The cleaning of the clarifiers is allowed only because of the bypass valves. So it makes it very easy to do, and something that, you know, operations can implement without a lot of effort. Next item, mandatory minimum penalties imposed by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. That was issued earlier in the month of April. We responded. We took the position that several of the penalties that they were applying were really the result of a single operational upset. They were all UV related. They were related to roughly the time that the UV was starting up, and there were some electrical problems, automation problems, and we took that approach. The regional board, unfortunately, didn't agree with that as being a single event, and so ultimately the MMPs are still in place. Month of April, 11 call-outs.
Excuse me, Doug, can I jump in here for a second?
Yep.
With respect to the MMPs, there will be an item on the next board agenda addressing that. So you'll have an opportunity to get a little more information on that point in time.
Yeah.
I was hoping so, because I was tempted to ask a question, but go ahead, we'll wait then. Thanks.
Yeah. So 11 call-outs during the month of April. One of the things that we've implemented recently is to start tracking our alarm calls and call-outs and apply the 80-20 principle and really focus our maintenance efforts on the things that are calling us out more frequently. So unless we have them down on paper, we're not going to be able to quantify and overcome that. There were five colored water complaints for the drinking water system the month of April. They were related to the flushing that's taken place. Our lead operator for the drinking water system started main flushing around the 1st of May. She'll be finished with the mains by the end of the month, and we'll have a few dead-end lines to clean up, and that work will occur during the day. But the majority of the community will be complete by the end of May. 5.12 million gallons of wastewater treated. I think that comes up a little bit later. Collection system, 800 feet of collection cleaned so far. We are working with our Richmond collection crew. I'd sent an email out earlier stating they were going to be here on Monday, Tuesday of next week to start routine maintenance per our new contract. And that is not accurate. They're going to be working in blocks of a week. So they're going to alternate weeks. They'll be starting Next week, we'll be here for 5 days to do routine maintenance and televising. We've been working with the town, Virgil, to identify the hot spots. We want to hit those initially in the first year, and I think that'll save everybody, you know, a little bit of pain initially. Virgil recommended that we televise the ductile iron pipes. If you remember, 5 months ago, there was a pipe on Cherry Hill that was replaced. Yep. So we really want to find out the condition of the rest of the ductile iron in the system. The consumer confidence report, and here it's showing that it's near completion. Gerald and I talked today. I believe it's complete. Yep. And in regard to the drinking water system and compliance, there are no compliance issues. Staffing for the wastewater treatment plant. We have 2 maintenance staff on hand. We've hired our maintenance technician through a temporary services agency. We're now going to hire him full time. The temporary services agency gives us you know, the opportunity to really try him out and see if it's going to work. It's much more cumbersome to you know, turn around once they're in the company.
Is that the specialty guy that did calibration and a lot of that? No.
No. So this is a maintenance tech, okay. And he's working out incredibly well. He's definitely a seasoned maintenance mechanic. The other position that we're it's filled currently, but it's filled by my manager for a larger group of projects. It's the instrument electrical technician.
Yes.
Yes. And we have collected resumes. The job has been posted. We're going to be conducting interviews probably next week or the week following. Yeah. We conducted interviews last week for project manager. And there were 6 candidates. We've narrowed the field down to 3. Out of those 3, I would say that 2 are very strong. The third candidate I had out today to give him a tour of the plant. And so anyway, I think there's potential out of one of those 3. So Gerald had thrown in some quarterly information here. Work history, you know, it's as we go along, we're probably going to modify the content of this report. I'm not sure
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
In the future, as you do, go ahead and modify and update, and I imagine it may transition depending on who's coming on board. Can we get the same report you show on the screen?
Sure.
Because you're talking about things that we're having to look for in our written report because they don't flow in the same, at least I'm not being it, maybe I'm,
no.
Am I right? It would be much more helpful for us because remember we're
layman
novices at this.
Yeah.
If our report would track with your report, the information at the same, you know, so we can follow through at the same time, we can't read everything on that screen, and that would make it easier for us.
I can just, very good.
Well, yeah, you can because you're not old
age.
Like me.
And actually, you know, offline we can discuss, and you know, I'd like to find out really the content that you're looking for.
Okay.
I don't want to bore you with data that's not relative.
Okay.
So
far, so good.
Okay. In regard to wastewater data, plant loadings, one of the things that we're working on with the city engineer Gregory Harris and Virgil is. A loading study to both wastewater treatment plants, and there are a couple of reasons for that. The engineer's interest is to find out loading for the master plan. Our interest is that we feel that there is a loading discrepancy between the 2 plants, so we don't think that they're being loaded evenly, and it's caused some operational problems in the past, and it's potentially attributable to mixing in a common wet well or a common sump for the influent of the 2 wastewater treatment plants. We have some preliminary numbers, and the preliminary numbers show a slight difference, but We think the two-week study that we're going to be conducting shortly will give us some better information. In addition to looking at loading, we're also reworking or recalibrating the flow instruments for the influenza. We think there are some issues with those instruments.
Ray, is this part of what we discussed in that meeting? We have that two-week intensive study. Is that part of the same thing we talked about?
Yes.
Okay.
Groundwater summary. You know, in my opinion, this is a bit boring data, but there's one item there that is of note and is not accurate. It's the nitrate portion of the groundwater showing 50 milligrams per liter. We did some research earlier on that. It's a number is based on a reporting limit. Really, the nitrate was non-detect, but technically, if your reporting limit is 50 milligrams per liter, you can't say that there was less if your test accuracy only goes down to 50. So anyway.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I work for the state. I understand those things.
Yeah. And just some quarterly numbers about influent flows, BODs. You'll note the BODs are biological oxygen demand. That's basically the loading that I'm referring to all the time. And I think this has been discussed many times. The BODs for these facilities are unusually low for a municipality. And I think that's it. Does the board have any questions?
Yeah, I do. Not based on this report. One of the things that I've harped on forever is stability in your company. And a lot of the conversation we had was we're in transit, in a contract transit, and employees are going to come and go until we get finalized. And I see we've lost our project manager already.
Correct.
What happened?
Through the hiring process, some things came up, and we couldn't follow through on our end through hiring. We initially hired him through a temporary services agency. He was on board for roughly 3 weeks when we started the hiring process through Veolia. There were just some issues that didn't allow him to perform the role that we needed him to fill.
So where are we at in replacing him?
I had mentioned earlier there were six candidates that we interviewed last week.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yep. And of those six, we're down to three. And one of those three was on site today to walk the facility.
You did say, I did hear that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
And if I can elaborate a little bit on that with respect to the PM, Doug has been here, if not every day, pretty much every day, filling that role. So. I certainly feel, and I know Virgil feels the same, that the capablest of hands are with the team we have right now. And unfortunately, Doug's going to go back and his job is being rearranged a little bit, that he will oversee our operation as well as a couple of other operations. So he'll be like a super PM, if you will. When the new PM comes here, Doug will still be available to us and on site. He's not going to be going away, but he's still going to be around.
Okay. Where are we up with our internet issue?
Done. Fixed.
The internet issue has been addressed, with the exception, if you recall, the issue of the when Veolia needs to come in through the back door, if you will, and go online remotely. When that happens, when the gentleman makes those changes, those computer changes, we do need to continue to shut down our security cameras. It's during the day. It's an unfortunate situation. We do have that program for correction.
It's a data stream issue, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
Ray, do you have any?
No.
Director Steele? Ryan?
Thank you for your time.
We're gonna give the public a chance to come at you too. Are there any questions from out there in the public that you have for Doug with regards to this report? Gerald, do you have any questions for your? Because you're smiling over there.
Okay.
Here's your big chance.
No.
You're not up to Joe. I didn't even ask how many cars you wrecked last month.
No questions, Doug. Thank you very much for the report. Appreciate it. And you can get with staff, and we'll give some guidance as to how we'd like to see these in the future. That'd be great. Okay, moving on. Managers' reports. We only have one manager here this evening, I believe.
So we'll take
so
that.
We'll start with Rick.
I've got four things, three of us on the agenda. The first one I'm going to touch upon that's not listed on the agenda real quickly. You recall, I believe it was probably late last fall, there was some discussion about the district and this building specifically being a candidate to receive an AED and automatic defibrillators.
Yeah. Yeah.
I met with Supervisor Pipo's office and with representatives of AMR approximately 2 weeks ago, and we will be getting an AED in the very near future here.
On a grant from the county?
Through the AMR program where they provide 25 AEDs per year, so we'll be getting one of those.
Okay.
It will be placed here in the action this evening.
Any discussion by the board? Is there a motion for that?
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to extend the Communications Committee date for final recommendations to the board from June 30th, 2011 to September 30th, 2011.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any comment from the public? Okay, not hearing any. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item two.
The second item before you this evening is to approve the contract with Hornberger Engineering. John Hornberger has performed our rate study over the past number of years, and this is to continue that process. This is for a two-year rate study versus your typical one-year rate study. If you recall, a couple years ago we did a five-year study, but this year I'm recommending a two-year rate study. Based upon a number of factors. One is the fact that the water master plan and the wastewater master plans, those are still going to be vetted out over the course of the next few months, and to do a five-year study with that on the horizon, I didn't think it was a prudent thing to do. So I think the more appropriate action would be to do a two-year study. It is consistent with Prop 218 guidelines, and it's a not-to-exceed $15,000 amount for the contract with Garrett. John Gary Hornberger.
Sure.
I make a motion to approve contract with Hornberger, to authorize water and wastewater rate studies for period fiscal year 2011-2012 through fiscal year 2012-2013 with Hornberger Engineering in an amount not to exceed $15,000.
And can you, the rest of the recommendation would be to authorize the general manager to execute all the contract documents.
And to authorize the general manager to say it one more time?
Exit will be most likely over by the front door by the light switches. And we will more than likely post a sign outside because they do want to be able to see from the outside as well. As part of that, it requires training in not only AED training, but also first aid training. So the district staff will be having training on the AED as well as some as well as CPR training next Thursday. Thursday, June 2nd. And if the board would like to participate in that training, you're more than welcome to do so. But I'm very happy to be able to mention that and thank Supervisor Pipo's office for their help, especially Karen. With respect to the second item in the first one listed under my reports, the water and wastewater master plan status updates. As you know, we have received both master plan reports. We received the water master plan just, I believe, the week ago Friday. They were approximately a month behind their due date. The reason for the delay was some of their numbers were not tracking. And so they had to go out and do some additional metering with fire hydrants. And I'm not exactly sure. Gerald may know what they were doing better than I do when they were out there. But needless to say, it did result in a little bit of a delay in getting that information to us on the water master plan side.
Go ahead.
I think that's the fax machine. It'll stop in a minute. It's been doing that.
The wastewater master plan has been before the wastewater, water and wastewater subcommittee consisting of President Graves and Director Tetro, myself, Gregory Harris of Hurwit, and that is in the review stage. We have sent it back to the consultant. Once that comes back from the consultant and the information has been updated, we expect to see that soon. It will then be ready for presentation to the full board.
So it'll be in a final draft that point?
It will move to a final draft stage at that point in time. The water master plan will be, we are the water and wastewater subcommittee, again, consisting of President Graves and Director Tetro, John Fawcett from Ludorf and Scalmanini. Virgil and myself will be meeting on that later in the week to review that master plan.
Tomorrow at 5.
Tomorrow at 5. It is later in the week. So we'll be doing that tomorrow at 5 p.m. Once that report gets back to the consultant, we get our final comments from that. That will then become a final draft, which will then parallel the wastewater master plan. It's my thought at that point in time, once they are placed in the final draft status, that we would work to schedule a series of workshops, one for the master plan for the water side and one for the wastewater side, and go through those through a series of public workshops so that the public can participate and kind of see what went into and what took place. And so we'll be able to do that at that point in time. But I just wanted to give you an update. I have had some calls and concerns from the community that they haven't heard anything, and rightfully so, and so I wanted to make sure that I was able to correct that and get some more updated information to the board. The second item is I would like to introduce Jordan Flint, who's with us tonight in the back of the room. Jordan is a sophomore, is going to be a sophomore at Arizona State this year. He attended Liberty. He lives here in Discovery Bay. And he started with me yesterday as our new town intern for the internship program. He will be the one of two that I understand I'm going to be getting another high school student here when school gets out. We'll see how that works out. But Jordan right now is working on working on a couple different policies for me that we discussed. And he will be kind of getting a feel for what it's like to be working in a public agency. And so it's nice to have Jordan on, and appreciate and look forward to working with him.
Jordan, do you have anything you'd like to say? If you would, you're more than welcome to come to the podium and say anything. And if you don't, you're more than welcome to say, no, I don't. How's it going, man? Didn't see you hiding back there.
I look forward to learning from Mr. Howard and learning how to do local government stuff.
Okay, appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's actually, he's been using this spot with that computer, and we've got them all set up and ready to go. So the last item I have for you this evening, I want to transmit the draft 2011-12 operating capital improvement program budget to the board as well as to the public. This is just a draft budget. I was not intending on getting into the details of it, other than going through just the different pages and what's included in the package for this evening. And this is the first phase. You're going to be getting a lot more information as we move through the budget process, the next meeting, and the final budget adoption on June the 15th. The first page of the budget, it's a four-page document, a little bit different than we've had in prior years. You can see the 2009-10 actuals, the 2010-11 budget, our projected actuals, our variances, and our proposed draft budget as well. All in all, the operating is approximately $381,000 over current year actuals, over current year projected actuals. And there's a lot of information that goes into that, which is included in the report. The second page is the capital of the wastewater side of the house. And you can see those. And if you're wondering what the blue highlights are and the yellow highlights are, what's highlighted in blue, that represents the carryovers that will be rebudgeted from the current year into next year. So we want to make sure we appropriately carry over so that we don't miss that. We've had a tendency to do that in the past. The yellow is a creation of a replacement fund. So I'll get into that in a second. But the third page includes the water side, the top portions of the water capital projects, and then there's a number of smaller miscellaneous ones as well. At the very bottom of the third page, it says Infrastructure Replacement Fund. If you look at that, this came out of the Budget Review Committee as a recommendation of the Budget Review Committee, which I thought was an excellent suggestion. And this afternoon, I was online with a webinar on financing public projects. And one of the things that they said is the key to any financial success, long-term sustainability, is the establishment and the maintenance of a depreciation fund. And so that's what we're doing here today, or with the adoption June the 15th. So we're actually going to create an opportunity for a replacement fund, long-term fund, and we're starting it out with a projected fund balance of $437,000.
Nice.
From a revenue standpoint, turning the page, you can see our projected revenues of $6.481 million. And if you look at our expenses, they are $6.481 million. We want to have a balance and well thought out budget. That's what's presented before you this evening. It does include the $100,000 we took out of Cherry Hills. We took four Cherry Hills out of the reserve fund. We do replenish that reserve fund back to the $3 million fund balance. And so we do that. And at the very bottom, in the last box, it says variance, and then below that it says rebudget remaining funds. That $267,258, those are funds that would be left over at the end of this fiscal year. So when you started the year in July 1st to get to June 30th, you didn't spend we're projecting not to spend $267,000. So what we're doing is we're going to go ahead and include that into the replacement fund. So that's part of that.
Okay, but I don't see it as part of that. So you're telling me the replacement fund is going to be $650,000 then?
No, the replacement fund, I think I'm looking at an error on here.
Yeah, because I see 267 to carry over, but I don't see it back as being put in.
It wasn't, that number wasn't corrected. It will be corrected in the next one.
What will be the account total on the replacement, on the deferred?
The number that is...
Excuse me, I'm talking to the director, I'm getting a scuttlebutt from over here, I can't hear him if you guys are talking. What's the answer, please?
The correct number is what's... correct number is the $437,759.
Okay.
So, I need to correct that. I apologize. And so, the blue tracks to those items that are contractual obligations that still need to be carried over and move forward, so that those are encumbered properly, and that's covered. The charts, the pie charts, just show where the source of revenues come from. Where the breakdown is, it's listed on the tables, but it's also there. The expenses shows just how it's broken down with respect to the replacement fund, the capital budget, and the O&M budget. The next page is the proposed organizational chart. It's a revised, it's a different organizational structure than we currently have, and it's indicative of some staffing changes that I'm proposing in the current year budget.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The next page is what is referred to as a position schedule. The position schedule lists every position in the district, and you'll see some that are zeros and some that are ones, but if you go through, it should make sense. It's a chart. Kevin, looks like this.
Next page. Okay.
You got it?
Yeah.
It addresses some staffing changes that I would like to make, which include some title changes, for example, from the landscape manager for Farron to the parks and landscape manager is one example. It's correcting a significant, in my opinion, out-of-class position situation with respect to one of the administrative assistants to an executive assistant and a couple of other, a couple of other smaller job title changes. And the thing to note though, is that the staffing numbers do not change. The number of actual bodies does not change from this current year to next year. You can see it moved from 16 to 17 last year with the creation of the water and wastewater manager. And then the last is the job description for the finance manager position. As you will recall, and as the public is aware, there have been in our audits some concerns from our financial auditors that we are lacking in financial reporting areas and financial staffing areas. And so the creation of the finance manager position and the elimination of an account clerk position is recommended as well as part of the overall budget. But in terms of the specifics of the budget, that's just a very brief overview. We'll get into that at the next meeting, but I want the public and I want the board to be able to have the opportunity to get into it, look at it, and have some chances to at least gives you three opportunities to look at it before the prior to adoption on June the 15th. And we are scheduled to go back to the board on the 1st of June with this, but as I'm thinking this afternoon, it may be appropriate, if it's the board's pleasure, to conduct a budget workshop. The first meeting of the month is generally the meeting that has our visitors that come in and give us the presentations and the updates. And so we can certainly do it at that point in time. I just don't want to rush it because it is a new process. It is a new format this year that we're working under. So I want to make sure the board has an opportunity and the public has the opportunity to weigh in. So I want to pose that as a possible option as well. And I would like to thank board members Simon and Tetro for their presence and their participation on the Budget Review Committee, as well as Galen Ziegler, who's in the audience this evening. Galen, and in fact, the entire committee was exceptional, and they really got into it and worked hard and came up with some really good ideas, some of which are not included in the budget, but it will be you will see as we move forward into the next year. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. And again, if just throwing out there, if you want to have this budget workshop, it's the board's pleasure.
Chris, you have any?
No, I just want to say good job on the budget committee and all that work that's been done. Thanks.
Brian? You guys were on the committee. I would like to thank you guys for all the hard work. And I know that you had a pretty good team, but I know you had a lot of input in this. And I'm glad that you guys came to a consensus and brought us something that we can buy off on. Appreciate your involvement. Did you want to make any comments about the budget since you guys were on the committee?
Not regrettably, wonderfully, I'll be on vacation on the first meeting, which will not be canceled, but I would like to participate in this budget thing since I'm on the committee. So if we had a workshop the next week, I mean,
when are you
leaving? I'm leaving next Wednesday night.
That's Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
When are you coming back?
I'm coming back the second, the third, or second or third. Yeah.
Well, if you come back the second, that'd be great. We'll have it that night. Can you make a commitment?
No.
The second is Thursday.
Right.
I'm coming back on third. No, I don't know what time. I don't know what time our flight is. How about Saturday?
Saturday doesn't work. I got no Saturdays at all during the month.
How about the following Monday?
The 6th is the ECC FPD meeting. Tuesday the 7th is open for me.
I would be very appreciative if you did that.
Lions Club night. Can you miss a Lions Club meeting?
I will.
Or is that a planning meeting for something? Is that Lions Club, Chris?
Yeah.
I think I have a community center meeting that
Tuesday.
I'm not sure.
Tuesday the 7th?
Rex got the calendar.
The first.
Are we out of order here? We're okay with this, right?
No, that's not a Lions Club meeting. It's the week before. It's the first Tuesday of the month.
That is the first Tuesday of the month. The 7th.
Do I do 3 o'clock? Sure.
Okay, hold on. Let's go back a minute.
3 o'clock on Tuesday.
The 9th. It's a Thursday. No, no, no. It's going to be the ninth in the evening.
I'll do whatever night you guys agree.
What are you thinking, Rick? Where's your guidance? We're lost without you. What's going on? Oh. Okay.
It's official town calendar.
We can do it early next. How about next? This coming Monday.
The fourth is definitely out.
The the reason why, one of the reasons that...
Can't do it the ninth.
I will be having the rate study to the board on the 1st of June, so I prefer to have it after we have the information from the consultant, or at least on that night or on that day. Another option would be to, if we wanted to do it, we could do a special meeting prior to, we could do a workshop prior to the regular board meeting, if you wanted to do that.
No,
oh, you're gone. You're still gone. You're still not back.
No, I'm still not back. I haven't changed my mind yet.
Does the 6th or 7th work?
7th does not work. 6th would be a Monday.
6th is the ECCF, is the fire district meeting.
Oh, so we know that. Missed that.
Not anymore. You can miss the Lions Club. That's more important than the Lions Club.
Just that's
Why don't we go ahead?
We can do this.
As long as we post it.
You know, we do have an opportunity here because there are 5 Wednesdays in June. Mm-hmm. And if you did want to push back the whole process 2 weeks, we could do that. And we could have a lighter agenda on the 15th with
the
budget.
And then
on the 29th of June. Would be your normally scheduled meeting, but then again, then you're going to have a meeting again on, well, July 6th, and I know that there's been some discussion amongst a couple board members have mentioned the possibility or maybe desire to cancel the meeting on July 4th week, but I'm not sure that's true also.
July 4th falls on a Monday this year?
Yes.
No. But nonetheless, what are you suggesting, that we don't have the June 1st meeting?
No. What I would be suggesting is we would just not have the budget discussion on June 1st.
Move it to the 15th.
We can move it to the 15th, and then maybe we can move to the 22nd. We could even move the workshop to the 22nd. And we can, well, you can't adopt the workshop, can you?
I'm going to be gone the week of the 22nd. I'm going to be in Arizona. Nice cool time to go to Arizona, middle of June. Be in Scottsdale.
So I would suggest then that we leave the schedule. If it's a pleasure of the board, we will hold off on the budget then on the 1st of June, and we will do that budget, present the proposed budget on June the 15th with a special meeting on the 29th to adopt the budget.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That works for me.
That's fine.
And then that would be the only item on the 29th. And that would give plenty of opportunity for the public and the board to weigh in and discuss it. Mm-hmm. And then on the 1st of June, we will have the rate study. We'll be coming at that point in time. Because that's a 218 requirement.
So we're going to have
three. Can we have just a real quick recess for a moment,
sure.
President?
Okay.
Won't be able to go outside.
Huh? What's that? No, we haven't done that yet. That's in Nevada.
Okay.
That's it. Pahrump, Nevada.
Such a great place.
Have you been there?
I've drove through it. Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah.
That's where that on-site is, or site.
They make.
It's a gun qualifying.
Is that Vincent?
Yeah, I got a 4-day handgun. Okay. Well, I already put it down on the 2nd, right? You don't have to be on the 2nd.
Okay. Yes.
Back in session.
Thank you. I apologize, and due to the time constraints required to comply with the Prop 218 requirements, and in order to have the information to the county in a timely manner for the tax rolls, the June 28th date's too far out.
That's right.
So I have. So the. Yeah. Does the 8th of June work?
Works for me.
What day is it?
It's a Wednesday.
Works for me.
So we can do a special meeting then as a single item, June the 8th.
And yeah, the 8th probably worked. Yeah, the 9th I leave.
And then the 15th we'll adopt the budget a week later.
Okay.
And that keeps us on track. We can meet those dates. So we're looking at June the 8th and then June 15th.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't even know where we are.
We're on legal counsel.
That was all I had. Is that all?
Mr. President, yes.
Okay, great. Council report.
Legal counsel has nothing to report.
Thank you very much, ma'am. We have correspondence listed, and we have public records requests listed, and we have future agenda item time. Is there anything that anybody would like to have put on future agenda items? Nope. Okay. In that case, meeting adjourned. So we're moving to the 8th, right?